hard I try. You're going to hate me when it's all said and done. I wrapped my arms around him. We have to be friends. I won't take no for an answer, I quoted. His eyebrows pulled in, and then he cradled me to him with both arms, still staring out the window. I watch you sleeping a lot. You always look so peaceful. I don't have that kind of quiet. I have all this anger and rage boiling inside of me. Except when I watch you sleep. That's what I was doing when Parker walked in, he continued. I was awake and he walked in and just stood there with this shocked look on his face. I knew what he thought, but I didn't set him straight. I didn't explain because I wanted him to think something happened. Now the whole school thinks you were with us both in the same night. Toto nuzzled his way onto my lap and I rubbed his ears. Travis reached over to pet him once, and then rested his hand on mine. I'm sorry. I shrugged. If he believes the gossip, it's his own fault. It's hard to think anything else when he sees us in bed together. He knows I'm staying with you. I was fully clothed, for Christ's sake. Travis sighed. He was probably too pissed to notice. I know you like him, Pidge. I should have explained. I owe you that much. It doesn't matter. You're not mad? He asked, surprised. Is that what you're so upset about? You thought I'd be mad at you when you told me the truth? You should be. If someone single-handedly sunk my reputation, I'd be a little pissed. You don't care about reputations. What happened to the Travis that doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks? I teased, nudging him. That was before I saw the look on your face when you heard what everyone's saying. I don't want you to get hurt because of me.
You would never do anything to hurt me.
I'd rather cut off my arm, he sighed. He relaxed his cheek against my hair. I didn't have a reply, and Travis seemed to have said everything he needed to. So we sat in silence. Once in a while, Travis would squeeze me tighter to his side. I gripped his shirt, not knowing how else to make him feel better other than to just let him hold me. When the sun began to set, I heard a faint knock at the door. Abby? America's voice sounded small on the other side of the wood.
Come in, Mare, Travis answered.
America walked in with Shepley, and she smiled at the sight of us tangled in each other's arms.
We were going to grab a bite to eat. You two feel like making a payway run?
Ugh, Asian again, Mare? Really? Travis asked. I smiled. He sounded like himself again. America noticed as well.
Yes, really. You guys coming or not?
I'm starving, I said. Of course you are. You didn't get to eat lunch, he said, frowning. He stood up, bringing me with him. Come on, let's get you some food. He kept his arm around me and didn't let go until we were in the booth of Payway. As soon as Travis left for the bathroom, America leaned in.
So? What did he say?
Nothing, I shrugged. She raised an eyebrow.
You were in his room for 2 hours. He didn't say anything?
He usually doesn't when he's that mad, Shepley said.
He had to have said something, America prodded.
He said he got a little carried away taking up for me, and that he didn't tell Parker the truth when he walked in. That's it, I said, straightening the salt and pepper. Shepley shook his head, closing his eyes.
What, baby?
America asked, sitting taller. Travis is... He sighed, rolling his eyes. Forget it. America wore a stubborn expression.
Oh, hell no. You can't just...
She cut off when Travis sat down and swung his arm behind me.
Damn it. The food's not here yet?
We laughed and joked until the restaurant closed, and then filed into the car for the ride home. Shepley carried America up the stairs on his back, but Travis stayed behind, tugging on my arm to keep me from following. He looked up at our friends until they disappeared behind the door, and then offered a regretful smile. I owe you an apology for today, so I'm sorry.
You've already apologized, it's fine.
No, I apologize for Parker. I don't want you thinking I'm some psycho that goes around attacking people over the tiniest thing, he said. But I owe you an apology because I didn't defend you for the right reason.
And that would be... I prompted.
I lunged at him because he said he wanted to be next in line, not because he was teasing you. Insinuating there is a line is plenty reason for you to defend me, Trav.
That's my point.
I was pissed because I took that as him wanting to sleep with you. After processing what Travis meant, I grabbed the sides of his shirt and pressed my forehead against his chest.
You know what? I don't care,
I said, looking up at him. I don't care what people are saying, or that you lost your temper, or why you messed up Chris's face. The last thing I want is a bad reputation, but I'm tired of explaining our friendship to everyone. To hell with them. Travis's eyes turned soft, and the corners of his mouth turned up. Our friendship? Sometimes I wonder if you listen to me at all. What do you mean? Let's go in, I'm tired. I nodded and he held me against his side until we were inside the apartment. America and Shepley had already shut themselves in their bedroom, and I slipped in and out of the shower. Travis sat with Toto outside while I dressed in my pajamas, and within half an hour we were both in bed. I rested my head on my arm, breathing out a long, relaxing puff of air. Just 2 weeks left. What are you going to do for drama when I move back to Morgan? I don't know, he said. I could see his tormented frown, even in the darkness. Hey, I touched his arm. I was kidding. I watched him for a long time, breathing, blinking, and trying to relax. He fidgeted a bit and then looked over at me. Do you trust me, Pidge? Yeah? Why? Come here, he said, pulling me against him. I stiffened for a second or two before resting my head on his chest. Whatever was going on with him, he needed me near him. And I couldn't have objected even if I'd wanted to. It felt right lying next to him. Chapter 9. Promise. Finch shook his head.
Okay, so you're with Parker or with Travis? I'm confused.
Parker's not talking to me, so that's sort of up in the air right now, I said, bouncing to readjust my backpack. He blew out a puff of smoke and then picked a piece of tobacco from his tongue. So, are you with Travis?
We're friends, Finch.
You realize everyone thinks you two are having some sort of freaky friends with benefits thing going on that you're not admitting to, right?
I don't care. They can think what they want.
Since when? What happened to the nervous, mysterious, guarded Abby I know and love? She died from the stress of all the rumors and assumptions.
That's too bad. I'm going to miss pointing and laughing at her.
I smacked Finch's arm and he laughed. Good. It's about time you quit pretending, he said.
What do you mean?
Honey, you're talking to someone who's lived most of his life pretending. I spotted you a mile away. What are you trying to say, Finch? That I'm closet lesbian?
No, that you're hiding something. The cardigans, the demure sophisticate that goes to fancy restaurants with Parker Hayes. That's not you.
Either you were a small-town stripper, or you've been to rehab.
The latter's my guess.
I laughed out loud. You are a terrible guesser.
So, what's your secret? If I told you, it wouldn't be a secret, now would it?
His features sharpened with an impish grin. I've shown you mine. Now show me yours. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but your sexual orientation isn't exactly a secret, Finch.
Fuck. And I thought I had the mysterious sex kitten thing going for me, he said, taking another drag.
I cringed before I spoke.
Did you have a good home life, Finch?
My mom's great. My dad and I had a lot of issues to work out, but we're good now.
I had Mick Abernathy for a father.
Who's that? I giggled. See? It's not a big deal if you don't know who he is.
Who is he?
A mess? The gambling, the drinking, the bad temper. It's hereditary in my family. America and I came here so I could start fresh, without the stigma of being the daughter of a drunken has-been.
A gambling has-been from Wichita?
I was born in Nevada. Everything Mick touched turned to gold back then. When I turned 13, his luck changed.
And he blamed you.
America gave up a lot to come here with me so I could get away. But I get here and walk face first into Travis.
And when you look at Travis, it's all too familiar.
Finch nodded, flicking his cigarette to the ground.
Shit, Abby. That sucks.
I narrowed my eyes.
If you tell anyone what I just told you, I'll call the mob.
I know some of them, you know.
Bullshit.
I shrugged.
Believe what you want.
Finch eyed me suspiciously and then smiled.
You are officially the coolest person I know.
That's sad, Finch. You should get out more, I said, stopping at the cafeteria entrance. He pulled my chin up.
It'll all work out. I'm a firm believer in the whole things happening for a reason adage. You came here, America met Shep, you found your way to the circle, something about you turned Travis Maddox's world upside down.
Think about it, he said, planting a quick kiss on my lips.
Hey now, Travis said. He grabbed me by the waist, lifted me off my feet, returning me to the ground behind him. You're the last person I'd have to worry about that shit from, Finch. Throw me a bone here, he teased.
Finch leaned to the side of Travis and winked.
Later, Cookie.
When Travis turned to face me, his smile faded.
What's the frown for?
I shook my head, trying to let the adrenaline run its course. I just don't like that nickname. It has some bad memories attached to it.
Term of endearment from the youth minister?
No, I grumbled. Travis punched his palm.
Do you want me to go beat the piss out of Finch? Teach him a lesson? I'll take him out.
I couldn't help but smile. If I wanted to take Finch out, I'd just tell him Prada went out of business, and he'd finish the job for me.
Travis laughed, nudging toward the door.
Let's go. I'm wasting away here. We sat at the lunch table together, picking on each other with pinches and elbows to the ribs. Travis's mood was as optimistic as the night I lost the bet. Everyone at the table noticed, and when he instigated a mini food fight with me, it garnered the attention of those sitting at the tables around us. I rolled my eyes.
I feel like a zoo animal.
Travis watched me for a moment, noted those staring, and then stood up.
I can't! He yelled.
I stared in awe as the entire room jerked their heads in his direction. Travis bobbed his head a couple of times to a beat in his head. Shepley closed his eyes.
Oh no.
Travis smiled.
Get no satisfaction, he sang.
He kept belting out the lyrics as he climbed onto the table as everyone stared. He pointed to the football players at the end of the table and they smiled and yelled the lyrics back in unison. The whole room clapped to the beat. Travis sang into his fist and danced past me. The whole room chanted in harmony. Travis jerked his hips, and a few whistles and squeals from the girls in the room fired off. He walked by me again, singing the chorus to the other side of the room, the football players his backup singers. He pointed to his clapping audience. Some people stood and danced with him, but most just watched with amused amazement. He jumped to the adjacent table, and America squealed and clapped, elbowing me. I shook my head. I had died and woken up in High School Musical. The football players were humming the bass line.
Na 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 na, na na na, na na, na na na.
Travis held his fist microphone high, then jumped down, leaned across the table and sang into my face. The room clapped to the beat, and as he hit the final note, he stood smiling and breathless. The entire room exploded into applause, even a few whistles. I shook my head after he kissed my forehead, and then stood up to take a bow. When he returned to his seat in front of me, he chuckled.
They're not looking at you now, are they?
He panted.
Thanks. You really shouldn't have, I said.
Abs? I looked up to see Parker standing at the end of the table. All eyes were on me once again.
We need to talk, Parker said, seeming nervous.
I looked at America, Travis, and then to Parker.
Please? He asked, shoving his hands in his pockets.
I nodded, following him outside. He walked past the windows to the privacy of the side of the building.
I didn't mean to draw attention to you again. I know how you hate that.
Then you might have just called if you wanted to talk, I said. He nodded, looking to the ground.
It wasn't my intention to find you in the cafeteria. I saw the commotion, and then you, and I just went in. I'm sorry.
I waited, and he spoke again.
I don't know what happened with you and Travis. It's none of my business. You and I have only been on a handful of dates. I was upset at first, but then I realized that it wouldn't have bothered me if I didn't have feelings for you.
I didn't sleep with him, Parker. He held my hair while I hurled a pint of Patron in his toilet.
That's as romantic as it got.
He laughed once.
I don't think we've really gotten a fair shot. Not with you living with Travis. The truth is, Abby, I like you. I don't know what it is, but I can't seem to stop thinking about you.
I smiled and he took my hand, running his finger over my bracelet. I probably scared you off with this ridiculous present, but I've never been in this situation before. I feel like I'm constantly competing with Travis for your attention.
You didn't scare me off with the bracelet.
He pressed his lips together.
I'd like to take you out again in a couple of weeks, after your month is up with Travis. Then we can concentrate on getting to know each other without the distraction.
Fair enough. He leaned down and closed his eyes, pressing his lips against mine.
I'll call you soon.
I waved goodbye, and then returned to the cafeteria, passing Travis. He grabbed me, pulling me onto his lap.
Breaking up is hard to do?
He wants to try again when I'm back at Morgan.
Shit. I'm going to have to think of another bet, he said, pulling my plate in front of me.
The next 2 weeks flew by. Other than class, I spent every waking moment with Travis, and most of that time we spent alone. He took me to dinner, for drinks and dancing at the Red, bowling, and he was called out to 2 fights. When we weren't laughing ourselves silly, we were play wrestling or snuggling on the couch with Toto watching a movie. He made a point to ignore every girl that batted an eyelash at him, and everyone talked about the new Travis. My last night in the apartment, America and Shepley were inexplicably absent, and Travis labored over a special last night dinner. He bought wine, set out napkins, and even brought home new silverware for the occasion. He sat our plates on the breakfast bar and pulled his stool to the other side to sit across from me. For the first time, I got the distinct feeling we were on a date.
This is really good, Trav.
You've been holding out on me, I said, as I chewed the Cajun chicken pasta he had prepared. He forced a smile, and I could see he was working hard to keep the conversation light.
If I told you before, you would have expected it every night.
His smile faded and his eyes fell to the table. I rolled my food around on my plate.
I'm going to miss you too, Trav.
You're still going to come over, right?
You know I will.
And you'll be at Morgan's, helping me study just like you did before.
But it won't be the same, he sighed.
You'll be dating Parker. We're going to get busy, go in different directions.
It's not going to change that much.
He managed a single laugh.
Who would have thought from the first time we met that we'd be sitting here? You couldn't have told me 3 months ago that I'd be this miserable over saying goodbye to a girl.
My stomach sank. I don't want you to be miserable.
Then don't go, he said.
His expression was so desperate that the guilt formed a lump in my throat.
I can't move in here, Travis. That's crazy.
Says who? I just had the best 2 weeks of my life.
Me too.
Then why do I feel like I'm never going to see you again?
I didn't have a reply. His jaws tensed. But he wasn't angry. The urge to go to him grew insistent. So I stood up and walked around the bar, sitting on his lap. He didn't look at me. So I hugged his neck, pressing my cheek against his.
You're going to realize what a pain in the ass I was, and then you'll forget all about missing me, I said into his ear.
He puffed a breath of air as he rubbed my back.
Promise?
I leaned back and looked into his eyes, touching each side of his face with my hands. I caressed his jaw with my thumb. His expression was heartbreaking. I closed my eyes and leaned down to kiss the corner of his mouth, but he turned, so that I caught more of his lips than I'd intended. Even though the kiss surprised me, I didn't pull back right away. Travis kept his lips on mine, but he didn't take it any further. I finally pulled away, playing it off with a smile.
I have a big day tomorrow. I'm going to clean up the kitchen, and then I'm going to head to bed.
I'll help you, he said. We did the dishes together in silence, with Toto asleep at our feet. He dried the last dish and set it in the rack, and then led me down the hall, holding my hand a bit too tight. The distance from the mouth of the hallway to his bedroom door seemed to take twice as long. We both knew that goodbye was just a few hours away. He didn't even try to pretend not to watch this time as I changed into one of his t-shirts for bed.
He stripped down to his boxers and climbed under the blanket, waiting for me to join him. Once I did, Travis flipped off the lamp and then pulled me against him without permission or apology. He tensed his arms and sighed, and I nestled my face into his neck. I shut my eyes tight, trying to savor the moment. I knew I would wish for that moment back every day of my life, so I lived it with everything I had. He looked out the window. The trees cast a shadow across his face. Travis clenched his eyes shut, and a sinking feeling settled over me. It was agonizing to see him suffer, knowing that not only was I the cause of it, I was the only one that could take it away. "Trav, are you okay?" I asked. There was a long pause before he finally spoke. "I've never been less okay in my life." I pressed my forehead against his neck, and he squeezed me tighter. "This is silly," I said. "We're going to see each other every day."
"You know that's not true."
The weight of the grief we both felt was crushing, and an irrepressible need came over me to save us both. I lifted my chin, but hesitated. What I was about to do would change everything. I reasoned that Travis didn't see intimacy as anything but a way to pass the time. And I shut my eyes again, and swallowed back my fears. I had to do something, knowing we would both lay awake, dreading every passing minute until morning. My heart pounded as I touched his neck with my lips, and then tasted his flesh in a slow, tender kiss. He looked down with surprise, and then his eyes softened with the realization of what I wanted. He leaned down, pressing his lips against mine with a delicate sweetness. The warmth from his lips traveled all the way to my toes, and I pulled him closer to me. Now that we had taken the first step, I had no intention of stopping there. I parted my lips, letting Travis's tongue find its way to mine. "I want you," I said. Suddenly the kiss slowed, and he tried to pull away. Determined to finish what I had started, my mouth worked against his more anxiously. In reaction, Travis backed away until he was on his knees. I rose with him, keeping our mouths melded together. He gripped each of my shoulders to hold me at bay. "Wait a sec," he whispered with an amused smile, breathing hard. "You don't have to do this, Pidge. This isn't what tonight is about." He was holding back, but I could see it in his eyes that his self-control wouldn't last long. I leaned in again, and this time, his arms gave way just enough for me to brush my lips against his. I looked up at him from under my brows, resolute. It took me a moment to say the words, but I would say them. "Don't make me beg," I whispered against his mouth. With those four words, his reservations vanished. He kissed me, hard and eager. My fingers ran down the length of his back and settled on the elastic of his boxers, nervously running along the gather of the fabric. His lips grew impatient then, and I fell against the mattress when he crashed into me. His tongue found its way to mine once again, and when I gained the courage to slide my hand between his skin and the boxers, he groaned. Travis yanked the t-shirt over my head, and then his hand impatiently traveled down my side, gripping my panties and slipping them down my legs with one hand. His mouth returned to mine once more as his hand slid up the inside of my thigh, and I let out a long, faltering breath when his fingers wandered where no man had touched me before. My knees arched and twitched with each movement of his hand, and when I dug my fingers into his flesh, he positioned himself above me. "Pigeon," he said, panting. "It doesn't have to be tonight. I'll wait until you're ready." I reached for the top drawer of his nightstand, pulling it open. Feeling the plastic between my fingers, I touched the corner to my mouth, tearing the package open with my teeth. His free hand left my back, and then he pulled his boxers down, kicking them off as if he couldn't stand them between us. The package crackled in his fingertips, and after a few moments, I felt him between my thighs. I closed my eyes. "Look at me, Pigeon." I peered up at him, and his eyes were intent and soft at the same time. He tilted his head, leaning down to kiss me tenderly, and then his body tensed, pushing himself inside of me in a small, slow movement. When he pulled back, I bit my lip with the discomfort. When he rocked into me again, I clenched my eyes shut with the pain. My thighs tightened around his hips, and he kissed me again. "Look at me," he whispered. When I opened my eyes, he pressed inside me again, and I cried out with the wonderful burning it caused. Once I relaxed, the motion of his body against mine was more rhythmic. The nervousness I had felt in the beginning had disappeared, and Travis grabbed at my flesh as if he couldn't get enough. I pulled him into me, and he moaned when the way it felt became too much. "I've wanted you for so long, Abby. You're all I want," he breathed against my mouth. He grabbed my thigh with one hand and propped himself up on his elbow, just inches above me. A thin sheet of sweat began to bead on our skin, and I arched my back as his lips traced my jaw and then followed a single line down my neck.
"Travis,"
I sighed. When I said his name, he pressed his cheek against mine, and his movements became more rigid. The noises from his throat grew louder, and he finally pressed inside me one last time, groaning and quivering above me. After a few moments, he relaxed and let his breathing slow.
"That was some first kiss," I said with a tired, content expression.
He scanned my face and smiled.
"Your last first kiss."
I was too shocked to reply. He collapsed beside me on his stomach, stretching one arm across my middle and resting his forehead against my cheek. I ran my fingers along the bare skin of his back until I heard his breathing even out. I lay awake for hours, listening to Travis's deep breaths and the wind weave through the trees outside. America and Shepley came in the front door quietly, and I heard them tiptoe down the hall, murmuring to each other. We had packed my things earlier in the day, and I flinched at how uncomfortable the morning would be. I had thought once Travis slept with me, his curiosity would be satiated. But instead, he was talking about forever. My eyes snapped shut with the thought of his expression when he learned that what had happened between us wasn't a beginning. It was closure. I couldn't go down that road, and he would hate me when I told him. I maneuvered out from under his arm and got dressed, carrying my shoes with me down the hall to Shepley's room. America sat on the bed, and Shepley was pulling off his shirt in front of the closet.
"Everything okay, Abby?" Shepley asked.
"Mayor," I said, signaling for her to join me in the hall. She nodded, watching me with cautious eyes. "What's going on?"
"I need you to take me to Morgan now. I can't wait till tomorrow."
One side of her mouth turned up with a knowing smile.
"You never could handle goodbyes."
Shepley and America helped me with my bags, and I stared out the window of America's car on my journey back to Morgan Hall. When we set down the last of the bags in my room, America grabbed me.
"It's going to be so different in the apartment now."
"Thanks for bringing me home. The sun will be up in a few hours. You better go," I said, squeezing once before letting go. America didn't look back when she left my room, and I chewed my lip nervously, knowing how angry she would be when she realized what I'd done. My shirt crackled as I pulled it over my head. The static in the air had intensified with the coming winter. Feeling a bit lost, I curled into a ball underneath my thick comforter and inhaled through my nose. Travis's scent still lingered on my skin. But the bed felt cold and foreign, a sharp contrast to the warmth of Travis's mattress. I had spent 30 days in a cramped apartment with Eastern's most infamous tramp, and after all the bickering and late-night house guests, it was the only place I wanted to be. The phone calls began at 8 in the morning, and then every 5 minutes for an hour.
"Abby," Kara groaned, "answer your stupid phone."
I reached over and turned it off. It wasn't until I heard the banging on the door that I realized I wouldn't be allowed to spend the day holed up in my room as planned. Kara yanked on the knob.
"What?"
America pushed past her and stood beside my bed.
"What in the hell is going on?" she yelled. Her eyes were red and puffy, and she was still in her pajamas.
I sat up.
"What, Mayor?" "Travis is a fucking wreck! He won't talk to us. He's trashed the apartment, threw the stereo across the room. Shep can't talk any sense into him."
I rubbed my eyes with the heels of my hand and blinked.
"I don't know."
"Bullshit. You're going to tell me what in the hell is going on, and you're going to tell me now."
Kara grabbed her shower bag and fled. She slammed the door behind her, and I frowned, afraid she would tell the resident advisor, or worse, the dean of students.
"Keep it down, America, Jesus,"
I whispered. She clenched her teeth.
"What did you do?"
I assumed he would be upset with me. I didn't know he'd fly into a rage.
"I don't know," I swallowed. "He took a swing at Shep when he found out we helped you leave. Abby, please tell me,"
she pleaded, her eyes glossing over.
"It's scaring me."
The fear in her eyes forced only the partial truth.
"I just couldn't say goodbye. You know it's hard for me."
"It's something else, Abby. He's gone fucking nuts. I heard him call your name, and then he stomped all over the apartment looking for you. He barged into Shep's room, demanding to know where you were. Then he tried to call you, over and over and over."
She sighed. His face was... Jesus, Abby, I've never seen him like that.
"He ripped his sheets off the bed and threw them away, threw his pillows away, shattered his mirror with his fist, kicked his door, broke it from the hinges. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life."
I closed my eyes, forcing the tears that pooled in my eyes down my cheeks.
America thrust her cell phone at me. "You have to call him. You have to at least tell him you're okay."
"Okay, I'll call him."
She shoved her phone at me again. "No, you're calling him now."
I took her phone in my hand and fingered the buttons, trying to imagine what I could possibly say to him.
She snatched it out of my hand, dialed, and then handed it to me. I held the phone to my ear and took a deep breath.
"Mayor?"
Travis answered, his voice thick with worry.
"It's me."
The line was quiet for several moments before he finally spoke.
"What the fuck happened to you last night? I wake up this morning and you're gone, and you just leave and don't say goodbye? Why?"
"I'm sorry, I..."
"You're sorry? I've been going crazy. You don't answer your phone, you sneak out, and... Why? I thought we finally had everything figured out."
"I just needed some time to think."
"About what?"
He paused.
Did I hurt you?"
"No, it's nothing like that. I'm really, really sorry. I'm sure America told you I don't do goodbyes."
"I need to see you," he said, his voice desperate.
I sighed. "I have a lot to do today, Trav. I have to unpack and I have piles of laundry."
"You regret it," he said, his voice breaking.
That's not what it is. We're friends, that's not going to change."
"Friends? Then what the fuck was last night?"
he said, anger bleeding through his voice. I closed my eyes tight.
"I know what you want. I just can't do that right now."
"So you just need some time?" he asked in a calmer voice.
"You could have told me that. You didn't have to run out on me."
"It just seemed like the easiest way."
"Easier for who?"
"I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking about what it would be like in the morning, loading Mayor's car, and I couldn't do it, Trav," I said.
"It's bad enough that you aren't going to be here anymore. You can't just drop out of my life."
I forced a smile. "I'll see you tomorrow. I don't want anything to be weird, okay? I just need to sort some stuff out, that's all."
"Okay," he said. "I can do that."
I hung up the phone. And America glared at me.
"You slept with him? You bitch! You weren't even going to tell me?"
I rolled my eyes and fell against the pillow.
"This isn't about you, Mayor. This has just become one convoluted clusterfuck. What's so difficult about it? You two should be deliriously happy, not breaking doors and hiding in your room."
"I can't be with him," I whispered, keeping my eyes on the ceiling. Her hand covered mine and she spoke softly.
"Travis needs work. Trust me, I understand any and all reservations you have about him. But look how much he's already changed for you. Think about the last 2 weeks, Abby. He's not Mick."
"I'm Mick. I get involved with Travis in everything we've worked for. Poof!" I snapped my fingers.
"Just like that."
"Travis wouldn't let that happen." "It's not up to him now, is it?"
"You're going to break his heart, Abby. You're going to break his heart. The one girl he trusts enough to fall for, and you're going to nail him to the wall."
I turned away from her, unable to see the expression that went with the pleading tone in her voice.
"I need the happy ending. That's why we came here."
"You don't have to do this,"
It could work. Until my luck runs out. America threw up her hands, letting them fall into her lap.
Jesus, Abby, not this shit again. We talked about this.
My phone rang and I looked at the display.
It's Parker.
She shook her head.
We're still talking.
Hello? I answered, avoiding America's glare.
Abs! Day one of freedom. How does it feel?
He said.
It feels
free, I said, unable to muster up any enthusiasm.
Dinner tomorrow night? I've missed you.
Yeah. I wiped my nose with my sleeve. Tomorrow's great. After I hung up the phone, America frowned.
He's going to ask me when I get back, she said.
He's going to want to know what we talked about. What am I supposed to tell him?
Tell him that I'll keep my promise.
By this time tomorrow, he won't miss me.
Chapter 10. Poker Face. Two tables over, one table back. America and Shepley were barely visible from my seat, and I hunched over, watching Travis stare at the empty chair I usually occupied before sitting at the end of the lunch table. I felt ridiculous for hiding, but I wasn't prepared to sit across from him for an entire hour. When I finished my meal, I took a deep breath and walked outside to where Travis was finishing his cigarette. I had spent most of the night trying to form a plan to get us to where we were before. If I treated our encounter the way he regarded sex in general, I would have a better chance. The plan risked losing him altogether, but I hoped his enormous male ego would force him to play it off the same way.
Hey,
I said.
He grimaced.
Hey,
I thought you'd be at lunch.
I had to run in and out. I have to study. I shrugged, doing my best impression of casual.
Need some help?
It's calculus. I think I've got it handled.
I can just hang out for moral support.
He smiled, digging his hand into his pocket. The solid muscles in his arm tensed with the movement, and the thought of them flexing as he thrust himself inside me replayed with vivid detail in my head.
What?
I asked, disoriented from the sudden erotic thought that had flashed in my mind.
Are we supposed to pretend the other night never happened?
No, why? I feigned confusion and he sighed, frustrated with my behavior.
I don't know. Because I took your virginity?
He leaned toward me, saying the words in a hushed voice. I rolled my eyes.
I'm sure it's not the first time you've deflowered a virgin, Trav.
Just as I had feared, my casual demeanor made him angry.
As a matter of fact, it was.
Come on. I said I didn't want any weirdness between us. Travis took one last drag of his cigarette and flicked it to the ground.
Well, if I've learned anything in the last few days, it's that you don't always get what you want.
Hey, Abs, Parker said, kissing my cheek.
Travis gave Parker a murderous expression.
I'll pick you up around 6, Parker said.
I nodded.
6.
See you in a bit, he said, continuing to class.
I watched him walk away, afraid to endure the consequences of the last 10 seconds.
You're going out with him tonight?
Travis seethed. His jaw was clenched, and I could see it working under his skin.
I told you he was going to ask me out after I got back to Morgan. He called me yesterday.
Things have changed a little bit since that conversation, don't you think?
Why?
He walked away from me, and I swallowed, trying to keep the tears at bay. Travis stopped and came back, leaning into my face.
That's why you said I wouldn't miss you after today. You knew I'd find out about you and Parker, and you thought I'd just, what, get over you? Do you not trust me, or am I just not good enough? Tell me, damn it! Tell me what the fuck I did to you to make you do this!
I stood my ground, staring straight into his eyes.
You didn't do anything to me. Since when is sex so life or death to you?
Since it was with you!
I glanced around, seeing that we were making a scene. People were walking by slowly, staring and whispering to each other. I felt my ears burn, and it spread across my face, making my eyes water. He closed his eyes, trying to compose himself before he spoke again.
Is that it? You don't think it meant anything to me?
You are Travis Maddox.
He shook his head, disgusted.
If I didn't know any better, I'd think you were shoving my past in my face.
I don't think 4 weeks ago constitutes the past.
His face contorted and I laughed.
I'm kidding. Travis, it's fine. I'm fine. You're fine. There's no need to make a big deal of it.
All emotion disappeared from his face, and he took a deep breath through his nose.
I know what you're trying to do.
His eyes unfocused for a moment, lost in thought.
I'll just have to prove it to you then.
His eyes narrowed as he looked into my eyes, determined as he was before one of his fights.
If you think I'm just going to go back to fucking around, you're wrong. I don't want anyone else. You want to be friends? Fine, we're friends. But you and I both know that what happened wasn't just sex.
He stormed past me and I closed my eyes, exhaling the breath I didn't know I'd been holding. Travis glanced back at me and then continued to his next class. An escaping tear fell down my cheek, and I quickly wiped it away. The curious stares of my classmates targeted my back as I plodded to class. Parker was in the second row, and I slid into the desk next to him. A grin stretched across his face.
I'm looking forward to tonight.
I took a breath and smiled, trying to change gears from my conversation with Travis.
What's the plan?
Well, I'm all settled in my apartment. I thought we'd have dinner there.
I'm looking forward to tonight, too, I said, trying to convince myself.
With America's refusal to help, Kara was a reluctant assistant to aid me in choosing a dress for my date with Parker. As soon as I pulled it on over my head, I yanked it off and slipped on a pair of jeans instead. After brooding about my failed plan all afternoon, I couldn't talk myself into dressing up. Keeping the cool weather in mind, I pulled on a thin ivory cashmere sweater over a brown tank top and waited by the door. When Parker's shiny Porsche pulled in front of Morgan, I pushed my way out the door before he had time to make it up the walk.
I was going to come get you, he said, disappointed as he held open the door.
Then I saved you a trip, I said, buckling my seatbelt. He slid in beside me and leaned over, touching each side of my face, kissing me with his plush, soft lips.
Wow, he breathed. I've missed your mouth.
His breath was minty. His cologne smelled incredible. His hands were warm and soft, and he looked fantastic in his jeans and green dress shirt. But I couldn't shake the feeling that something was missing. That excitement I had in the beginning was noticeably absent, and I silently cursed Travis for taking that away. I forced a smile.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
His apartment was exactly as I had imagined, immaculate, with expensive electronics in every corner, and most likely decorated by his mother.
So? What do you think?
He said, grinning like a child showing off a new toy.
It's great,
I nodded. His expression changed from playful to intimate, and he pulled me into his arms, kissing my neck. Every muscle in my body tensed. I wanted to be anywhere than in that apartment. My cell phone rang, and I offered him an apologetic smile before answering.
How's the date going, Pidge?
I turned my back to Parker and whispered into the phone.
What do you need, Travis?
I tried to make my tone sharp, but it was softened by my relief to hear his voice.
I want to go bowling tomorrow. I need my partner.
Bowling? You couldn't have called me later? I felt like a hypocrite for saying the words, knowing I had hoped for an excuse to keep Parker's lips off of me.
How am I supposed to know when you're going to get done? Oh, that didn't come out right.
He trailed off, sounding amused with himself.
I'll call you tomorrow and we can talk about it then, okay?
No, it's not okay. You said you want to be friends, but we can't hang out? I rolled my eyes, and Travis huffed.
Don't roll your eyes at me. Are you coming or not?
How did you know I rolled my eyes? Are you stalking me? I asked, noting the drawn curtains.
You always roll your eyes.
Yes?
No? You're wasting precious date time.
He knew me so well. I fought the urge to ask him to pick me up right then. I couldn't help but smile at the thought.
Yes,
I said in a hushed voice, trying not to laugh.
I'll go. I'll pick you up at 7.
I turned to Parker, grinning like the Cheshire Cat.
Travis?
He asked with a knowing expression.
Yes.
I frowned, caught.
You're still just friends?
Still just friends, I nodded once. We sat at the table, eating Chinese takeout. I warmed up to him after a while, and he reminded me of how charming he was. I felt lighter, almost giggly, a marked change from earlier.
As hard as I tried to push the thought from my head, I couldn't deny that it was my plans with Travis that had brightened my mood. After dinner, we sat on the couch to watch a movie. But before the beginning credits were over, Parker had me on my back. I was glad I had chosen to wear jeans. I wouldn't have been able to fend him off as easily in a dress. His lips traveled down to my collarbone, and his hand stopped at my belt. He clumsily worked to pull it open, and once it popped, I slid out from under him to stand up.
"Okay, I think a single is all you'll be hitting tonight," I said, buckling my belt.
"What? First base? Second base? Never mind.
It's late. I better go."
He sat up and gripped my legs.
"Don't go, Abs. I don't want you to think that's why I brought you here."
"Isn't it?"
"Of course not," he said, pulling me onto his lap. "You're all I've thought about for 2 weeks. I apologize for being impatient."
He kissed my cheek, and I leaned into him, smiling when his breath tickled my neck. I turned to him and pressed my lips against his, trying my hardest to feel something. But I didn't. I pulled away from him and sighed. Parker furrowed his brow.
"I said I was sorry."
"I said it was late." We drove to Morgan, and Parker squeezed my hand after he kissed me goodnight.
"Let's try again. Be a Seti's tomorrow?"
I pressed my lips together.
"I'm bowling with Travis tomorrow."
"Wednesday, then?"
"Wednesday's great," I said, offering a contrived smile.
Parker shifted in his seat. He was working up to something.
"Abby, there's a date party in a couple weekends at the house."
I inwardly cringed, dreading the discussion we would inevitably have.
"What?"
he asked, chuckling nervously.
"I can't go with you," I said, letting myself out of the car. He followed, meeting me at the Morgan entrance.
"You have plans?"
I winced. "I have plans. Travis already asked me."
"Travis asked you what?"
"To the date party," I explained, a bit frustrated.
Parker's face flushed, and he shifted his weight.
"You're going to the date party with Travis? He doesn't go to those things. And you're just friends. It doesn't make sense for you to go with him."
"America wouldn't go with Shep unless I went." He relaxed.
"Then you can go with me,"
he smiled, intertwining his fingers in mine. I grimaced at his solution.
"I can't cancel with Travis and then go with you."
"I don't see the problem," he shrugged. "You can be there for America, and Travis will get out of having to go. He is a staunch advocate for doing away with date parties. He thinks it's a platform for our girlfriends to force us to declare a relationship."
"It was me that didn't want to go. He talked me into it."
"Now you have an excuse," he shrugged. He was maddeningly confident that I was going to change my mind.
"I didn't want to go at all."
Parker's patience had run out.
"I just want to be clear. You don't want to go to the date party. Travis wants to go. He asked you, and you won't cancel with him to go with me, even though you didn't want to go in the first place."
I had a hard time meeting his glare.
"I can't do that to him, Parker. I'm sorry."
"Do you understand what a date party is? It's something you go to with your boyfriend." His patronizing tone made any empathy I'd felt for him disappear.
"Well, I don't have a boyfriend, so technically I shouldn't go at all."
"I thought we were going to try again. I thought we had something."
"I am trying."
"What do you expect me to do? Sit at home alone while you're at my fraternity's date party with someone else? Should I ask another girl?"
"You can do what you want," I said, irritated with his threat.
He looked up and shook his head.
"I don't want to ask another girl."
"I don't expect you not to go to your own party. I'll see you there."
"You want me to ask someone else? And you're going with Travis. Do you not see how completely absurd that is?"
I crossed my arms, ready for a fight.
"I told him I would go before you and I ever went out, Parker. I can't cancel on him."
"You can't, or you don't want to?"
"Same difference. I'm sorry that you don't understand."
I pulled the door open to Morgan, and Parker put his hand on mine.
"All right," he sighed in resignation.
"This is obviously an issue I'm going to have to work through. Travis is one of your best friends, I do understand that. I don't want it to affect our relationship, okay?"
"Okay," I said, nodding.
He opened the door and gestured me to walk through, kissing my cheek before I walked inside.
See you Wednesday at 6?
6, I said, waving as I walked up the stairs. America was walking out of the shower room when I turned the corner, and her eyes brightened when she recognized me.
Hey, Chickie. How'd it go?
It went, I said, deflated.
Uh-oh.
Don't tell Travis, okay? She huffed.
I won't. What happened?
Parker asked me to the date party. America tightened her towel.
You're not bailing on Trav, are you?
No, and Parker's not happy about it.
Understandable, she said, nodding.
It's also too damn bad. America pulled the strands of her long, wet hair over one shoulder, and drops of water trickled down her bare skin. She was a walking contradiction. She applied to Eastern so we could move together. She was my self-proclaimed conscience, intent on stepping in when I gave in to my embedded tendencies to fly off track. It went against everything we talked about for me to get involved with Travis, and she had become his overly enthusiastic cheerleader. I leaned against the wall.
Would you be mad if I didn't go at all?
No, I would be unbelievably and irrevocably pissed off. That's grounds for a full-blown catfight, Abby.
Then I guess I'm going, I said, shoving my key in the lock.
My cell phone rang, and a picture of Travis making a funny face appeared on the display.
Hello? You home yet?
Yeah, he dropped me off about 5 minutes ago. I'll be there in 5 more.
Wait, Travis, I said after he'd hung up.
America laughed.
You just had a disappointing date with Parker, and you smiled when Travis called.
Are you really that dense?
I didn't smile, I protested.
He's coming here. Will you meet him outside and tell him I went to bed?
You did too, and no, go tell him yourself.
Yes, Mayor, me going out there to tell him I'm in bed is so gonna work. She turned her back to me, walking to her room. I threw up my hands, letting them fall to my thighs.
Mayor, please!
Have fun, Abby. She smiled, disappearing into her room. I walked down the stairs to see Travis on his motorcycle, parked at the front steps. He wore a white t-shirt with black artwork, setting off the tattoos on his arms.
Aren't you cold? I asked, tugging my jacket tighter.
You look nice. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, thanks, I said, distracted.
What are you doing here? He pulled back the throttle, and the engine snarled.
I was going to take a ride to clear my head. I want you to come with me.
It's cold, Trav.
You want me to go get Shep's car?
We're going bowling tomorrow. Can't you wait until then?
I went from being with you every second of the day to seeing you for 10 minutes if I'm lucky.
I smiled and shook my head. It's only been 2 days, Trav.
I miss you. Get your ass on the seat and let's go.
I couldn't argue. I missed him too. More than I would ever admit to him. I zipped up my jacket and climbed on behind him, slipping my fingers through the belt loops of his jeans. He pulled my wrists to his chest and then folded them across one another. Once he was satisfied that I was holding him tightly enough, he took off, racing down the road. I rested my cheek against his back and closed my eyes, breathing in his scent. It reminded me of his apartment, and his sheets, and the way he smelled when he walked around with a towel around his waist. The city blurred past us, and I didn't care how fast he was driving, or how cold the wind was as it whipped across my skin. I wasn't even paying attention to where we were. The only thing I could think about was his body against mine. We had no destination or time frame, and we drove the streets long after they had been abandoned by everyone but us. Travis pulled into a gas station and parked.
You want anything?
He asked. I shook my head, climbing off the bike to stretch my legs. He watched me rake my fingers through the tangles in my hair and smiled.
Quit it. You're fucking beautiful.
Just point me to the nearest 80s rock video, I said. He laughed and then yawned, swatting at the moths that buzzed around him. The nozzle clicked, sounding louder than it should in the quiet night. We seemed to be the only 2 people on Earth. I pulled out my cell phone to check the time.
Oh my God, Trav, it's 3 in the morning.
You want to go back? He asked, his face shadowed with disappointment. I pressed my lips together.
We better.
We're still going bowling tonight?
I told you I would.
And you're still going to Sig Tau with me in a couple weeks, right?
Are you insinuating that I don't follow through? I find that a little insulting.
He pulled the nozzle from his tank and hooked it on its base. I just never know what you're going to do anymore.
He sat on his bike and helped me to climb on behind him. I hooked my fingers in his belt loops and then thought better of it, wrapping my arms around him.
He sighed and leaned the bike upright, reluctant to start the engine. His knuckles turned white as he gripped the handlebars. He took a breath, beginning to speak, and then shook his head.
You're important to me, you know, I said, squeezing him.
I don't understand you, Pigeon. I thought I knew women, but you're so fucking confusing, I don't know which way is up.
I don't understand you either. You're supposed to be Eastern's ladies' man. I'm not getting the full freshman experience they promised in the brochure, I teased.
Well, that's a first. I've never had a girl sleep with me to get me to leave her alone, he said, keeping his back to me.
That's not what it was, Travis.
I lied, ashamed that he had guessed my intentions without realizing how right he was.
He shook his head and started the engine, pulling out onto the street. He drove uncharacteristically slow, stopping at all the yellow lights, taking the long way to campus. When we pulled in front of the entrance of Morgan Hall, the same sadness I felt the night I left the apartment consumed me. It was ridiculous to be so emotional, but each time I did something to push him away, I was terrified it would work.
He walked me to the door, and I pulled out my keys, avoiding his eyes. As I fumbled with the metal in my hand, his hand was suddenly at my chin, his thumb softly touching my lips.
Did he kiss you? He asked.
I pulled away, surprised that his fingers caused a burning feeling that seared every nerve from my mouth to my toes.
You really know how to screw up a perfect night, don't you?
You thought it was perfect, huh? Does that mean you had a good time?
I always do when I'm with you.
He looked to the ground and his eyebrows pulled together.
Did he kiss you?
Yes, I sighed, irritated. His eyes closed tight.
Is that all?
That is none of your business, I said, yanking open the door. Travis pushed it closed and stood in my way, his expression apologetic. I need to know.
No, you don't! Move, Travis!
Pigeon.
You think because I'm no longer a virgin, I'll screw anyone that'll have me?
Thanks, I said, shoving him.
I didn't say that, damn it! Is it too much to ask for a little peace of mind?
Why would it give you peace of mind to know if I'm sleeping with Parker?
How can you not know? It's obvious to everyone else but you, he said, exasperated.
I guess I'm just an idiot, then.
You're on a roll tonight, Trav, I said, reaching for the door handle.
He gripped my shoulders.
The way I feel about you, it's crazy.
You got the crazy part right, I snapped, pulling away from him.
I practiced this in my head the whole time we were on the bike, so just hear me out, he said.
Travis,
I know we're fucked up, all right? I'm impulsive and hot-tempered, and you get under my skin like no one else. You act like you hate me one minute, and then you need me the next. I never get anything right, and I don't deserve you. But I fucking love you, Abby. I love you more than I've loved anyone or anything ever. When you're around, I don't need booze or money or the fighting or the one-night stands. All I need is you. You're all I think about. You're all I dream about. You're all I want.
My plan to feign ignorance was an epic fail. I couldn't pretend to be impervious when he had laid all of his cards on the table. When we met, something inside both of us had changed, and whatever that was, it made us need each other. For reasons unknown to me, I was his exception, and as much as I had tried to fight my feelings, he was mine.
He shook his head, cupped each side of my face and looked into my eyes.
Did you sleep with him?
Hot tears filled my eyes as I shook my head no. He slammed his lips against mine, and his tongue entered my mouth without hesitation. Unable to control myself, I gripped his shirt in my fists and pulled him to me. He hummed in his amazing deep voice and gripped me so tight that it was difficult to breathe. He pulled back, breathless.
Call Parker. Tell him you don't want to see him anymore. Tell him you're with me.
I closed my eyes. I can't be with you, Travis.
Why the hell not?
he said, letting go. I shook my head, afraid of his reaction to the truth. He laughed once. Unbelievable.